Before preaching, I just want to say a word of welcome to myself. For those of you who are new to St. Lucie's, you may not know that I was the pastor here until July of this last year. I'm Father Kevin Joyce, and I'm now the chaplain of Presentation Retreat Center up in Los Gatos, and I'm offering monthly seminars up there. You're all invited the third Sunday of every month at 1:30, kind of looking at the great saints, the great spiritual masters of our tradition, trying to help people in their own spiritual journeys. And I'm going out to parishes and offering parish missions and parish retreats. So this is a new life for me. It seems to agree with me. I'm enjoying this slower paced life, but I'm actually back to work. I took a 6-month sabbatical, but as of January 1st, I'm back to work. And so Father Mark just phoned me up today and said, "I hear you're back to work. Come back to St. Lucie's." So I was happy to bail him out. And this is a great day to celebrate Mass together. You know, it's not a rule in the Catholic Church that you have to attend Mass on Ash Wednesday. The rule is you have to attend on Sundays. Sundays is the Sabbath. The third commandment says, remember to keep holy the Sabbath. And since the first generation of Christianity, Christians have gotten together to celebrate the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, on Sundays. And it's a law. You have to attend, or you get in trouble. But you don't have to attend on Ash Wednesday. But look at this. Standing room only. And this is true all over the Catholic world. Churches are full on Ash Wednesday, even though people don't have to show up. Why? What's the big deal about Ash Wednesday? And I think that it may be conscious or unconscious, this idea that we could become better human beings. And we even might cherish the hope that eventually we could become the best version of ourselves, become the persons that God really wants us to become. Ashes, I still have some ashes left from my morning Mass, they symbolize transformation, because the ashes that we put on the forehead in the sign of the cross represent something that has been transformed. Palm branches from last Palm Sunday were burned, and we use those ashes on Ash Wednesday as a sign that we want to be transformed. We want our whatever is evil or negative or sinful in our lives to be burned up, so to speak, and that we become renewed people. And this may not be conscious, but I think the reason why people just want to get the ashes, for some people it's superstitious. They think they're going to have bad luck if they don't get their ashes on Ash Wednesday. But that's not the teaching. But still, there's something much deeper, even for people who might be superstitious. And that is, the ashes represent hope. Hope. And what suggests that hope in today's reading is a very strange verse in the second reading from Paul's letter to Corinthians, when he says, "We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who did not know sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Did you get that? I see a lot of blank stares. That's the way I felt for years. I wondered, what did he mean? What did Paul mean that Jesus became sin? Jesus who never sinned. So that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And finally, it came to me a few years ago after thinking about this a lot, that to be sin in this case means that Jesus takes our sins upon himself, and he experienced in his own flesh, when he was in his mortal body on this earth, the consequences of the worst sins. When he was on the cross and he cried out to God, our Heavenly Father, my God, why have you abandoned me? In that moment, Jesus, as a human being, did not feel the presence of his Father. He felt completely alone, completely disconnected from God. And that's what sin does. Serious sin does that. we feel disconnected from God, from other people, and from our best selves. So Jesus, when he was baptized in the Jordan River, was baptized against the will of John. John did not want to baptize Jesus because John had this prophetic awareness that Jesus had no sin. And the baptism in the River Jordan was for people who were sinners to show they wanted to change. They wanted to repent. They wanted to come back to the Lord. John knew that Jesus didn't need the baptism. But Jesus insisted upon being baptized because he wanted to identify completely with sinners. He wanted to show that he's behind us. He's with us. He understands and even feels deeply in his humanity our struggles, our sufferings, and our sinful temptations. And he experienced the consequences of our sins at the moment of feeling abandoned on the cross. It's an amazing teaching that a lot of non-Christians just don't understand. Because we Christians believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God made flesh, but he's also a human being, fully. The only difference is he never fell into temptation and sin, even though he experienced temptation. And he experienced temptation so that he could be a merciful high priest for us. He is filled with mercy towards us, especially in our times of weakness and suffering and struggle and trial and sin. So this is, I think, the intuition behind our desire to get the ashes. Somehow it represents, I can become better. And Jesus will help me become better because he cares about me, because he has my back. And he knows that whatever weaknesses I have, whatever stupid things I've done, whatever sins I've committed, they're nothing compared to the mercy of God made present in Jesus Christ. So how do we access that mercy? Today's gospel gives us three fundamental Christian practices: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And so every day of our lives, we should spend a significant period of time in dialogue with the Lord. We call that prayer. We listen to the Lord speak to us, and we speak to him. And we listen especially in the Word of God. So are there any Catholics out here who are not reading the Bible every day? Can I see a show of hands if you don't read the Bible every day? We got a lot of honest Catholics right there. A lot of honest, lazy Catholics, yeah. All right, so this is the day you can begin to change that laziness and get that Bible out of the bookcase, dust it off, and open it up to the beginning of the New Testament. What's the first book of the New Testament? Matthew. Can I hear that again? Matthew. What's the second book of the New Testament? Third? Fourth? Well, at least you know what they are. Now read them. Yeah, a little bit every day. A little bit every day. That would be a great practice for Lent. Read slowly. Think about the text. And then speak to the Lord. And this changes lives. Because once you let the Word of God into your mind, there's less and less room for bad thoughts. There's less and less room for egocentricity. Less and less room for meanness and nastiness and dishonesty and all the stuff that we call sin. That's the first practice for Lent. Second practice, fasting. Now today in the Universal Catholic Church, adults are not supposed to eat more than one meal. How many of you had two meals? Fess up, raise your hand. We've got a few slackers here, but most of you didn't raise your hand. That's good. We're allowed to have one meal. We're supposed to feel some hunger on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. We fast on Good Friday. And on Fridays during Lent, we don't eat meat. Again, just a small sacrifice to identify with the sufferings of Jesus Christ and to feel the hunger physically to remind us of our hunger for God. Our hunger for God that he will fill when we really open up our hearts to him. But we don't want to just fast from food. We want to fast from other things that may be harmful or may represent something that needs to change in our lives. So we might do the typical thing. You give up something you like candies or desserts or beer or wine, you know, something that you enjoy that gives you pleasure, and to stop it for 40 days is tough. And that's the point. You're supposed to feel it. You're supposed to feel it. And every time you feel the desire for that chocolate candy or the glass of wine and you decide you're giving it up for Lent, you offer that feeling of hunger, thirst, or desire as prayer, and make a simple maybe a simple one-line prayer like, Lord, help this hunger lead me to intimacy with you. See, that's what Christianity is about. Christianity isn't just believing in God. The demons believe in God, and a lot of good it does the demons. No, Christianity is about connecting with God in an intimate friendship. It's not just believing in things, it's connecting with God. And that's what prayer, fasting, and almsgiving help to lead us to. Almsgiving, to share whatever we have with people who have less. To offer some of our money or our time to the poor, to those who are struggling, to those who are lonely, to those who are in nursing homes. So find somebody who needs something during this time of Lent. Do it regularly throughout this time of Lent. And that changes the heart. The heart becomes more capable of compassion and love. Now, one final point about all of that. Jesus says, do it secretly. Do it secretly. You don't, write a check and send it to a charity and say, hey, I just gave a bunch of money to a charity. No, that's not the idea. And, you don't go around and say, oh, I gave up chocolate for Lent, or I'm spending extra half an hour in prayer. That's exactly the opposite. Because you notice how Jesus is insistent that we do this secretly. He says, when you give alms, you give money, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. Now, isn't that interesting? He says, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. In other words, don't try to impress yourself either. One of my most, I'd say, stupid habits that I have periodically is I actually try to impress myself. I mean, I do things and I feel, wow, I'm so good. And I don't tell anybody else. I'm just telling me, Now, I got the wrong attitude in those moments. So we want to keep it secret. To promote intimacy with you and the Lord through the simple practice of prayer or fasting or almsgiving. So could I make one final appeal to all of you who don't go to Mass on Sunday? Start going to Mass on Sunday. There's nothing more beautiful we could do every week than to celebrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what the Mass is. The center of Catholic spirituality is the Eucharist, the Mass. And there's a third commandment that is not called the third suggestion. It's called the third commandment. Worship the Lord your God on the Sabbath. And for us, that's Sunday, the day Jesus rose from the dead. That'd be one of the best favors you could do yourselves. The best favor you could do your children or your parents. Kids can really be good examples for their parents if their parents aren't taking them to Mass. And the kids say, I heard at Ash Wednesday, Father Kevin was saying that we should be going to Mass. How come we're not going to Mass? See, kids can help their parents get closer to the Lord by shaming them. Do it, kids. Do it. Finally, I said finally twice already, but this is for reals. A wise Catholic mother used to remind her children that when they went to church on Ash Wednesday, the ashes should not be a badge of how good or holy we are, but a way to admit our weakness and our need for God, our need for God's grace in our lives. At the end of today's Mass, I will remind myself, and I hope you will remind yourself, of that wise advice from that mother. Receiving the ashes is a way to admit my weakness, my need for God, my need for God's grace. And with this simple ritual of putting the sign of the cross with ashes on our forehead, Lent begins.